and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me at Eric Talk Stros, and you can find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. Brett, where can they find you at?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros.
The Astros had two pitchers go down over the weekend, and the Astros had to go out there and do something that we talked about that they wouldn't do, go out and add another veteran. And we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about all the other moves the Astros made over the weekend. And when I'm talking about moves, I mean all the different safety protocol moves they had to make over the weekend. There's just so much going on with Houston Astros that you can get Locked On Astros on podcasting app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, radio.com, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device played podcast Locked On Astros. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON20 and get 20% off your first order. And Brett, I guess the big news that kind of broke over the weekend was after Framber Valdez. We still don't really know what's going on with him, but the Astros went out and did something that I think I said they wouldn't do. They went out and signed Jake Odorizzi to a 2-year deal with a player option for third-year deal. I know some Astros fans are not too excited about that, looking at what he did in 2020, but how many players really had a great year in 2020? I'm pumped about this. The Astros maybe didn't need to go give the second year and maybe the player option for a third year, but honestly, to get this deal done for this year, and we don't know the exact terms for the deal, but to get the deal done for this year, they had to get the extra years, definitely the second year and the player option for a third year to get him in for this year.
Yeah, definitely. I think I know that you had put on there, because I didn't know, John Heyman reported that it's a maximum value of $30 million over the first 2 years. So we don't know all the full details, but Jake Odorizzi, when I was looking him up, I kind of talked about how we're going to go over, like, I guess the pros and the cons. Here's the thing. The pros, Eric, he's a veteran. He has great spin rate, and Brent Strom is a pro. Cons, he's given up a ton of home runs in his career. He has a career ERA of 3.92, and his FIP is 4.12, which is two times that of most leaders from 2020. Eric, he gave up 20 home runs, 18, 29, 30, 20, and 16. He gave up four last year, and he only pitched in four games. So the baseball is dead this year, or so they're saying. So I think that will bode well for Odorizzi. Plus, it'll be a change of scenery. He's back with a guy that he knows. I know James Click isn't on the field, but it's good when you come into an organization. Also, we have Cishek, who is also with him, I believe, in Tampa, if I'm not mistaken. So I think with him, with this club, with Brent Strom, I think he's going to do better than expected. I don't think many are expecting him to wow. I think a good year is 10 to 12 wins this season. I think a great year is 14 wins. I think most people expect him to get between 8 and 9 wins, that low.
I know a lot of people said, well, this guy doesn't pitch deep into games. He's a 5-inning pitcher. Well, if you look at it, who is going to pitch for them? Luis Garcia? Well, how many innings would he give you on a regular basis? 5 innings, 5-6 innings maybe. So I think Jake Odorizzi will give you exactly what you need. He is a veteran guy. He's done it before. In 2019, I believe he was 15-7. He had 189 strikeouts and X amount of innings, like 150 or 160 innings off the top of my head. This is a guy who's done it before. Yes, he struggled last year. He had intercostal pain. He had chest pains, and he had blister injuries all last year. He only pitched in four games. He had a 6.59 ERA. So he had a strong strikeout to walk rate last year. He had 12-3 strikeout to walk rate. So that's still good, even despite the injuries. So right. this is a guy who knows how to do it. And he's also pitched with Ryan Pressly, but I don't think he's going to be hanging out with the guys in a bullpen. He's not going to be saying, hey, yo, what's up? And we're going to be talking a little bit later on in the show, but I don't think Steve Cishek is going to be playing for the Astros with this.
Well, I don't know.
We'll have to talk about that because his money, if he makes the team, it could, we don't know what Odorizzi's contract is, and it's going to be a lot of incentive. So let's say he does reach pitch 150 innings, that could trigger a certain amount of millions of dollars, which could get them closer to luxury tax threshold. And Cishek, if he makes the team, that's X amount of millions. I forgot. Isn't it like 2 million or something?
Two,
the 2.5. Astros are going to be penny pitching this year because they don't, we'll talk about this in the second segment, but they're not going to want to lose draft picks. And we'll talk about that in a second.
Definitely. Yeah. So since we're going to hit on that in a second, and we kind of started down this topic of talking about his injuries. Do you think we need to go ahead and get into the Forrest Whitley thing?
Yes.
Where he has been diagnosed. Eric Heisman didn't break it. We know it was...
that was Mark Berman.
Mark Berman, or, you know...
Yeah, Eric Heisman, Mark Berman, same thing. Yeah,
same thing. I know Eric Heisman hangs out at airports like Mark. I think Mark Berman has, like, a room at the airport that he just, like, has a cot. And they're like, hey, there's like, a celebrity. And so, so Forrest Whitley has been diagnosed with a sprained collateral ligament in his right
UCL,
elbow.
Yeah,
UCL. Thank you. He is only 23, but he's going to seek another opinion. Tommy John would be the next step. I think the UCL issue is definitely something that has been aggravated by his violent pitching motion. If you watch his arm, it's very wild. It's not very smooth. He's only thrown 197 innings in his professional career. 24 and a third frame at the AAA level. And in his brief stint at Round Rock, he was torched with a 12.21 ERA and gave up 9 home runs. There's a guy that I'm talking to right now. Once we find out a final diagnosis, it's a guy that's written about the Tommy John surgery. And he calls it the Tommy John twist. And he said he recognized Whitley had that a couple years ago. So he might be someone that we bring on for just a short segment because he studied all that medically and he'll help us understand it as a fan base. A lot of people are down on Whitley. A lot of people are like, trade him. And I'm like, trade him.
That ship has sailed. And he asked if I could have traded him for JT Realmuto a few years ago. But, I mean, you're going to hit and miss with these guys. Yeah. That's why they're called prospects. And Jeff Luhnow decided to go ahead and take a chance on this guy. And this guy was the 17th overall pick in 2016. He's still 23 years old. This is a guy who still has the upside to be a number one pitcher. You got to be patient with him. This is not on him. This is not because he is the next Mark Appel. I know I joked about this the other day, but you can't bet on that happening. But you know what you can bet on? You can bet online.ag. So tell us a little bit about that.
That's right. Betonline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time, updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered on all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website and use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
All right, guys, and you know we're awesome at covering the Houston Astros, and we're going to talk a little bit more about Jake Odorizzi in a little bit, but what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with the Locked On Today podcast. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports you need to know every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe and to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcast. So, Brett, let's go ahead and continue talking about Jake Odorizzi. This is a guy who I guess the writing was kind of on the wall after the Framber Valdez injury. And apparently John Heyman is kind of backtracking a little bit, saying, oh, well, they may kind of avoid the whole season injuring, the season ending surgery to for his finger, but nobody really knows what's going on him. And I don't really think that the reason why the Astros brought in Odorizzi was solely because of Valdez. I think it had more to do with Forrest Whitley being out. I think they had an idea that Whitley needed the surgery, kind of like that. So apparently the boys over at Talking Baseball, I think that's a John Boy podcast, they had Odorizzi on this past off season, and he was kind of talking about who he's modeled his game after, especially as he gets older. And guess what? He modeled it after Zach Greinke.
I was going to say, it had to be Zach Greinke.
Yeah. And he said he's the type of guy I've always tried to see what he's doing, and I can replicate all that kind of stuff. He does it at extreme high level. But he said that he tries to drastically slow down his curveball and mixing it into his arsenal. And he just tries to kind of model after what Greinke's doing. So can you imagine he's trying to kind of model what Greinke's been doing all these years? Now he actually gets to work with Zach Greinke. So you know that had to go into the decision a little bit. So he may have taken a little bit less to come to Houston.
Yeah, exactly. Odorizzi has average velocity. He mainly throws a four-seamer in the low to mid-90s, but he mixes four other pitches. He has a slider. He has a cutter, a curve, and a splitter. Odorizzi talked about taking some miles off the slider and adding to the cutter. What's interesting is, like, they're going to get that spin rate up. Brent Strom is going to work his magic with this guy. But he said with this cutter, he's looking at showcasing it this season. He said bruised ribs and a blister cost basically him last season. But he was an all-star with Minnesota in 2019, and that's what people got to realize. I think the upside is this. He's a veteran. He has struggled. He has dealt with injuries. He has dealt with the blister thing. And so you work through that and you learn how to become a better pitcher. Now you come into the organization where you have Zach Greinke, a guy that you look up to and try to emulate. You have Brent Strom, who is a wizard, who is the guru, who is the pitching, mastermind. And I think Odorizzi has the ability to get back to his all-star form where he was this season in 2021, especially he's not the top guy. I don't know that he wasn't really the top guy ever in Minnesota, but he doesn't have to, he's not like coming to a club where he's having to carry him, right? You've got McCullers, you've got Greinke, you may have
Valdez.
You may have Valdez in a few months.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is this, Jake Odorizzi, I think, came into a perfect situation. They paid him handsomely, and I think they paid him handsomely because he probably got just about what he's worth. And if he did, he got real close to the Astros, pushing them to that CBT line. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So speaking of which, the before the signing, and the luxury tax threshold was around $200 million, according to FanGraphs. And so the Astros, the luxury tax threshold is $210 million. So likely, unless they work some miracle, maybe they had to do some type of signing bonus. I don't know if the signing bonus, like maybe they gave him a $10 million signing bonus. I don't know if that doesn't work into the luxury tax number. I don't know that for a fact. I who knows? But this is what you have to take in consideration. You after the season, if you make a qualifying offer to Carlos Correa, Justin Verlander, and Zach Greinke, and they all accept it, I mean, or they all turn it down and end up signing somewhere else, then you get draft pick compensation. But if you go past that luxury tax threshold, then you could get that draft pick pushed back. You can get pushed back a couple of rounds. Also, you could lose other draft picks as well. So that's why the Astros, it's not just about paying the tax. You can also lose in terms of draft picks. And the Astros are already still going to lose their first and second pick, round and second pick, because of the whole trash can scandal. And so this is still something that the Astros are trying to do. And let's say that the Astros lose Carlos Correa and they have to go out and sign somebody like Corey Seager, then they'll have to give up.
You had to use a Dodger. You had to say the most unlikely guy to come.
I was just using somebody that Ken Rosenthal used in the article.
Oh, so. Okay. Okay.
So then the penalty would be their second and fifth highest picks.
Okay. Or you can just keep Jeremy Pena and not do the penalty.
Well, I was just giving you an example that Ken Rosenthal gave.
No, yeah, exactly.
So yeah, that's the reason why the Astros would have to consider that. So the reason why I bring that up is Steven Souza and Cech. They're not guaranteed major league contracts. They're both here on minor league deals. Yes, Souza is kind of opening some eyes. Cech had a much better second appearance. But if them being on the team puts them over that luxury tax threshold, I think that makes them less likely to make the team. And if that's the case, I see the Astros releasing them pretty soon to give them a chance to find another place.
Yeah, that's, you know, those are all things that are above my pay grade. And I'm sure we've got like listeners who are like going, oh my gosh, I can't believe you don't know all the ins and the outs of the financials of baseball. It is definitely something that requires some sort of degree, I think, in economics, you know, just to really understand it all. But I think with James Click and Jim Crane that they'll do the thing that's, you know, the right thing by the club. This probably does knock a little bit of the chances of them signing Correa sooner rather than later. And I really kind of think that James Click is going to go with his one-liner that he had a few weeks ago. JT Realmuto went to free agency and he still came back.
Yeah,
I'm afraid that's going to be his philosophy going into Correa. And hey, he may surprise me.
Speaking of surprising people, it is March and March Madness, and Built Bar is taking advantage of that. So tell us a little bit about Built Bar.
So Built Bar right now is doing basically a tournament of their own, okay? And what they're doing is they are sizing up flavors, or I should say, flavors against flavors. So the first two matchups are Apple Almond Crisp and Churro Puff, which I haven't had Churro Puff. But I automatically got to give that the win, because who doesn't love churros and who doesn't like marshmallows all wrapped in one, wrapped in 100% chocolate with 17 grams of protein? Then you have peanut butter brownie versus raspberry. Now, I'm going to have to go with the raspberry because I'm not a big chocolate guy. Like chocolate, like peanut butter brownie, I'm not a big fan of the peanut butter brownie. I love the flavor, but if I've got it against raspberry, I'm going to go raspberry. So those are the four flavors that are going against each other. It is all about Built Bar Madness right now. And so go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order. That's a LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order at builtbar.com. Check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar in the business.
Which Built Bar do you think Gorgu would, isn't that his name? Baby Yoda would like.
Baby Yoda?
Yeah.
I think you would like I'm looking at all these and Churro Puff has got to win because it's a churro and it's or chocolate or cookie dough chunk. Dude, I don't know. Like, dude, they're
I
all
think
good.
Baby Yoda would eat anything. And speaking of somebody who knows everything, why don't you listen to Locked On MLB podcast, Paul Francis Sullivan. I know he wants you to call him Sully. every day on the Locked On MLB podcast. He has a unique look at the baseball. He features exciting guest interviews, routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB network team of local experts, and insightful analysis of today's biggest stories. Locked On MLB is the single best source for daily baseball talk. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcast. And I know he does not have the best views out there for the Houston Astros at the moment, but he still has a good podcast. Go out there and listen to Locked On MLB podcast. So speaking of the Locked On Astros podcast, let's get back to the Astros. So Alex Bregman came out today and said he's about 90% when you're talking about his hamstring, and that if this was the regular season, he would be playing baseball. And he wants to be playing 9 innings. There's no way around it. I want to be playing every single day. Trust me, I do. I'm just listening to a device that I've been giving. Sucks to hear it sometimes, but I need to be patient with the things and make sure everything is 100%. So that way I can play 162 games plus a good postseason run.
Yeah, you know, Alex Bregman, this is something that's got to be frustrating more than anything, because it's something that's literally keeping him off the field, and he wants to be on the diamond. He did injure his hamstring early in January while he was running sprints. And so he's been rehabbing it since. So the Astros naturally are taking it slow. He maintains that he'll be ready for opening day, so that's a good thing. He's also been a full participant in the team's morning workouts in West Palm Beach, which means he's been fielding grounders and getting swings in against pitchers in live bullpen sessions. Bregman also said this: we have a lot of time, but I've also gotten a lot of live ABs off of really good arms. Yesterday, my swing felt the best it's felt in probably a year. So I'm looking forward to trying to continue to keep it feeling that good.
Alrighty. So yeah, definitely. And it's good to see him out there, and it's good to hear that Yordan Alvarez is out there hitting homers. I heard that he actually hit a homer out there. And Miles Straw, Alex Bregman also said that he thinks that Miles Straw could be an all-star in this league. So that's something to be positive. I know he had an 0-for, I believe it was today, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but that's fine. This guy's going to get out there.
No, Miles Straw got a hit. Miles Straw got a hit today. He was actually 1-for-2. I just pulled up the box score.
Oh, was that maybe against when I looked at him?
Oh, no. You know what? I'm sorry. That's an old game. That's a 14-0 game. I'm sorry. I think you're right. My bad, Eric. I pulled up the wrong box score. That's on me.
Oh, that's fine. So, yeah, but Bregman dealt with this injury with sprints. And somebody on Twitter, I think Chandler Rome put it that Alex Bregman said that he injured his hamstring. And somebody said, don't do that with the first six words, like he injured his hamstring again. But this happened back in January when he was trying to get ready. So people are going to get hurt during the offseason. It's something that you can't avoid, especially when these guys are trying to get prepped. Speaking of people trying to get prepped, we have Ryan Pressly. He's trying to rebound from a bad, I want to say, year and a half. If you want to, I guess, if you want to count, maybe not even a year and a half, but last year he wasn't good. And I would say that during the playoffs in the last part of 2019, he was not good as well. So, but he's looking out there, and Dusty Baker said that he looks like he's in mid-season form, and he looks like his fastball was out there. So what did Ryan Pressly have to say about himself?
He said, I just wanted to go out there and throw strikes and be able to throw my breaking ball for a strike. I just wanted my body to feel good. I didn't necessarily care about the results today. Obviously, there's still some things I'm working on. The results were good today, but we've got to build on that and try to keep getting better every single day. For the most part, I was happy with how my body felt and how everything was coming out of my hands. I think we're in a really good spot. He threw 14 pitches and had 3 strikeouts. So he did phenomenal today. And hey, I have been
phenomenal.
He's phenomenal. Yeah. Like Jim Rome back in the jungle days. But here's the deal. I have been saying, that's right, Rackham. I have been saying that Pressly is not the guy that you want closing. I'm fully on board that if he can come out and he's healthy and he's dominant and he's strong, I mean, give him the ball. If he wants to take on that role, give it to him. So it's who is the best fit for the job at that time, you know? And, you know, I think if he builds on this, that's a confidence booster for him. That's a confidence booster for Baker. And I think it's better to go in with the closer at the beginning than with the committee, because then you don't really have confidence. You're like, oh, we're going by committee, so we're just kind of trusting who we think is going to be good. This way you're like, you're our guy. So that is always a good thing to start out with confidence on the front end.
Well, I didn't actually put a lot of this down, but there's 8 players that were kind of sidelined over the weekend with the safety. I know we talked about 3 of them in our last show, but there was 8 of them total. And I know one of them was Paredes, who actually pitched in the game before, Francis Martez and a few others. And Brian Abreu was one of them, right?
Yes. I believe there are 8 pitchers total.
Yeah. And so I know that we made MLB Network. I heard them talking about that, and there was 8 total players. Now, this does not mean that they were all tested positive or anything. This is because of contact tracing. They were kind of sent home because of something. And we heard that Frenchie Cordero and who else was it? Jose Ramirez in Cleveland were sent home because they violated the COVID restrictions. I don't know if they did the whole James Harden and went clubbing or something, but they
or bought a rapper friend a bag of honey buns and gave him $100,000 cash or whatever.
I don't know what I didn't really pay much attention to it, but yeah, MLB's taking this seriously this year.
And we're hanging out with Zach Plesac.
Yeah, Zach Plesac and
Sunshine.
Yeah, something like that. But definitely there's something they're taking this seriously this year. And so we'll have to see how it all comes about. But it's good to see that there's hopefully everything comes together. But the rotation looks like it should be pretty solid coming pretty soon, even if Framber Valdez comes back in a couple months. Add Odorizzi to this, Javier in his second full season.
Urquidy
healthy and back, and then McCullers. And oh, by the way, McCullers will be pitching in today's game. And Dusty Baker said that on Tuesday's game.
Yes.
And he's Dusty Baker's hoping that he will go 3 innings, and he only went 1 inning in his last game. So any closing thoughts before we close out this podcast?
Yeah, I just think things are going kind of crazy right now with the Astros, where some people are freaking out. And I don't think there's any need to freak out. I think this club's filled with enough veterans and a great coaching, pitching staff that they'll find a way to figure things out. The things to monitor is the health of both Bregman and Alvarez. Those are 2 key factors right there. You know, Valdez put him on the shelf. Whitley put him on the shelf. Forget about those guys right now. Focus on the guys that can help you now. Altuve hit a triple today. Sunday, he hit a triple in the game. And so Altuve's looking good. Brantley's looking good. So they're positive to draw. It's not all negative. I think they're going to bang out some wins this year, pun intended.
I think we're going to see Greinke get the opening day start. I think McCullers would go game 2. Then we'll see Odorizzi and then Urquidy, and then Christian Javier will be the 5th starter. And just imagine once Valdez gets in that rotation, you can almost go with 6-man rotation, put Javier as the long man or something. So, yeah, the Astros have something. I know Brandon Del Castillo mentioned it. Now they have rotation depth. And that's something they didn't have before. So, and yes, maybe they didn't need to add him for that 3rd year, but for right now, it looks pretty good. And we'll have to see how he rebounds from a bad 2020, but a lot of people had a bad 2020. And we will talk to you tomorrow on the Locked On Astros podcast, and go Astros, and let's win some games.